a nice introduction for our next guest. Welcome back. It's the Midday Show.
Hey.
Hugh Douglas. Cool. Joe Gilley, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. We'll get back to all the Phillies talk. Is it important to you that they win the division? It is for me. I want more home games. I want less games to have to win. I want a higher seed. And yes, I want to avoid the Dodgers early in the playoffs. Call me a loser. Call me scared. And call me whatever you want. I'm just trying to be smart about this. You guys go play the Dodgers early. I'll play them later in the playoffs when we have a longer series, and maybe they get knocked out by somebody else, which is how the Phillies got to the World Series in 22 anyway. All right, back to that coming up. And Hugh's clues. First clue today was what? A famous American business?
Yes, famous American business.
Okay, we got a pair of tickets to the HBCU Swingman Classic on the line today, Friday, July 10th at Citizens Bank Park. Right now, joining us, Elliott Shore Park, sponsored by Cozy Jewelers. Step up to the fifth seat. That's color. Cut, clarity, carrot, and cozy. Elliot, how we doing?
You know, it's always interesting, and one of my favorite things is how we talk about each team differently. Could you imagine saying it's not important if the Eagles win the division? Just being like, nah, no big deal. If they finish second, who cares? Like, it's just so different how our expectations for each team is different.
But you know what's funny, though, Elliot? The year that we won the division four times in a row, like, after a while, it was like Groundhog's Day. And you saw the same thing, and so after you wanted to do something different. But I totally understand.
But we still wanted to. You still want to win the division.
Well, you want to win the Super Bowl,
right? But
and you know the path that we were taking was ultimately not getting us what we wanted. But you know, eventually we broke through. But still, it was one of those things, man. You got tired of the same results.
Well, Elliot, I was also by a caller called scared this morning because I want a higher seed. Like, could we imagine saying that about the Eagles? Like, we want the one seed, so you get a bye. Are you scared of playing three games? So you're right. Like, we would never say that about the Eagles or any other team.
Well, I think it's funny, too, the idea of getting more home games for the Phillies. They haven't been too good at Red October recently.
It feels like they
lose almost every time they're at home now. So maybe being on the road wouldn't be the end of the world.
Yeah, that's a point. That is a point. I have to win fewer games. But you're right. Home has not been as great the last few years. Elliot, let's talk about the Eagles as we are a few weeks away from the start of camp. So we were having a discussion yesterday, and I think I know where you come down, but I'm curious. We were having a discussion about the offense, and really more philosophically. A couple weeks ago at minicamp, Nick Sirianni talked about how he still wants every possession on offense to end with a kick, right? Ideally, an extra point. Less ideally, a field goal. Even less ideally, a punt. But not a turnover, right? That's kind of the gist of what he was saying. And we were talking about that balance between aggressiveness and being conservative. And would we trade some more turnovers this year for more points, for more explosive plays? Where do you come down on that? Because I feel like that kind of is the overarching thing for the whole offense, and then underneath that is scheme and everything else. But that philosophy, should they be a little bit more aggressive if it means some more turnovers?
Yeah, so I thought that quote from Nick really should be one of the most reassuring things Eagles fans will hear this offseason. We've spent so much time talking about the scheme and under center and crossing routes and all that stuff. That's all well and good. What Nick just said there, I think, is the reason to believe that they can again win double-digit games, probably win the division, and be Super Bowl contenders. Because with Nick running the show and Jalen a quarterback, their insistence on taking care of the ball is why this has been arguably the best stretch in franchise history. So when Nick talks about ending it with a kick, that's reassuring. I don't want them to be more reckless with the ball. I don't want them to, you know, Jalen to throw more interceptions, however you want to phrase it. They should run the offense the same way they run it over this stretch. Take care of the ball, run the football, make big plays on third down, get good offensive line play. Like, that is how you win football games. That's what they've been doing. So to hear Nick say that philosophy is not changing, I think should be really exciting for fans to hear.
Okay, so, and look, they've won a lot doing that, for sure. But do you think last year, like, how do you view last season? Because it felt to me like almost like a tipping point where the strategy is not working the same anymore. They did still won a good amount of games, won the division, but a lot of those wins, to me, are hard to replicate. Like the Lions game, the Packers game, the Bills game. I mean, three games they won with very little offense that if we play those games again, they're going to be hard to win them at the same rate.
So I look at last year pretty simplistically. I look at it as it was a Super Bowl hangover year. Like, the Eagles have been a great organization. I don't think it's a coincidence that in every single year after they've gone to the Super Bowl, they've looked like they did last year. 2005, didn't look like a great team. 2018, barely got into the playoffs. 23, biggest collapse we've seen. And then last year, obviously, probably the best of all the post-Super Bowl years. But we watched how, like, kind of a slugfest it was all year and how slow and bad they looked on offense. I think that last year was not an indication that the offense is broken. I don't think it was an indication that they need to change things. I think it was an indication that when you run the ball as much as you did in 24 and your offensive line is banged up and you don't have a good running game, it's really hard to win football games. And they still won quite a bit despite that. So going into next year, I think just having the offensive line presumably be healthier, presumably having a better running game, you can win games like those Green Bay and Detroit games because they'll have a great defense. And if they can run the ball, that's the exact type of team that should be conservative in the passing game, not a team that should have to feel they need to be aggressive.
Elliot Shore Parks with us here. Elliot, Kyle and I on Monday, he was at, we were having a discussion. It just kind of came up organically. I feel like we haven't talked about this offseason, almost any of us, right? Because so much of the changes are on the offensive side with AJ out, the offensive scheme, all that. Elliot, the defense last year was very good. I would say it was not quite as great as 2024 when they won the Super Bowl, but still very good. Elliot, do you think the Eagles are a lock to have a great defense? Because I think about the offseason and what they lost here, specifically N'Kobe Dean, and now Jahad Campbell has to elevate into that role. And last year, and that was, I know, Jahad's rookie year, when he was on the field, they weren't as good defensively as when N'Kobe was out there. Also, some changes up front with Grenard in and Jalen Phillips out. Do you think the Eagles' defense is a lock to be great? Because I feel like so much of what we say about the team and the offense and philosophy is kind of reliant on the defense to be very good, if not great. Your thoughts on the defense we haven't talked much about.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess it can be a bit of a semantics argument as to what great is, but I would say overall, yes, I think it's pretty close to a lock that they will have a great defense. I think they're going to have an outstanding secondary, even with some of the issues at safety. I think the trio of Quinion, Cooper DeJean, and Tariq Woolen will be good enough to make up for, you know, the perceived lack of talent at safety. I mean, the secondary was mostly fine with Marcus Epps last year in there, so I think they'll be okay there. I think Grenard is an upgrade over Jalen Phillips, and I think you'll get a better version of Jalen Carter this year than you got last year, where he himself, I think, dealt with a little bit of the Super Bowl hangover, how many snaps he played in 24 compared to 25, and now, obviously, he missed time last year with injury. So, yeah, I mean, I think your point about Jahad Campbell is fair. I think when we talk about the Niners' loss in the playoffs, we focus so much on the offense. Like, the defense did give up a touchdown in the first and last drive of the game. That can be pretty hard to overcome. So I get the concern that maybe they won't be, like, the best defense in the NFL, but I'd be pretty surprised if at any point next year we're having real discussions about the defense being an actual issue.
You know what? I'm kind of curious, Al. When you talk about this offense and what it's going to be, how many weeks – Do you think that the defense is going to have to carry the offense, number one, and how many weeks do you think that's going to be the case before this offense gets going?
So I think it could take a few weeks, but I'm pretty firm in the camp that if it's the second half of week one and that offense isn't clicking, like, they're not going to say keep running these new plays that aren't working. They're going to try to run the plays that the players are most comfortable with. Now, to your point, like, the defense still had to carry this team for long stretches last year. So simply going back to last year's offense isn't a recipe for winning games right away. But in terms of how many games this year will the defense have to carry the offense versus vice versa, I mean, I think that, you know, the defense probably will have to carry the offense in the majority of the games early on. You look at some of the teams they're playing. They have the Rams early on. Chicago is a team that really gave this defense trouble last year. So, yeah, I think the defense is really going to need to make sure they're not in shootouts.
All right, Elliot, while we have you, it's the big night tonight. We know you're excited. We know you've been all over the World Cup. So give us your thoughts on the game tonight. United States against Bosnia, 8 o'clock, knockout round. So we're in the round of 32, win tonight to the round of 16. From what I saw this morning and what I understand, the United States is a favorite, pretty big one in this game. How do you think this one goes tonight?
Yeah, it's an interesting spot because almost never does the USA enter a World Cup knockout game expected to win. So just seeing the players in that type of situation, the expectation to win, I mean, most times they go in as pretty heavy underdogs. So look, they're better than Bosnia. Like, if you look at just the world rankings, they're ranked considerably higher. You know, they've looked and played awesome in the knockout stage. You know, for people that don't watch soccer often, I would say it's a little bit like when we talk about a basketball game in the way that it's a make or miss league, right? Like some nights you're going to make your shots and sometimes you're not. There will be five or six chances the USA has tonight, big chances, because I think they can move the ball and get, and you know, get good chances against Bosnia. And they just got to finish them. And that's what it'll come down to. Like, do they take opportunity of their chances? I think that they're playing well enough. Their strikers are playing well. They're hot right now, that they will. But that's what it'll come down to. I think they'll win. But, yeah, the expectation to win, it'll be interesting to see them in the spot.
You know what? How concerned are you? Because there's been a few upsets. I think, what, Germany and Japan got upset, right, by, was it Brazil?
Yeah.
And somebody, I forgot the other squad. But how concerned are you about upsets potentially in this game?
Yeah, I mean, again, I think it goes back to the pressure thing, right? Like, are they able to deal with the expectations of being the better team tonight? So I think that's what it comes down to. Like, would it be a huge upset if they lost? No, I don't think you could say that it would be like a huge upset. But I think the pressure going into tonight is also like, will the knockout stage matter? It feels, and you guys can probably speak to this, that soccer over the past month is getting talked about more and more than it ever has. I mean, the fact that I'm getting asked back-to-back soccer questions on WIP, right, speaks to the fact that there is more interest in it. But if they go out there tonight and they lose, like, is that momentum gone? And for the core of this team, too, like, they've played in multiple World Cups. They all play in big clubs around the world. Like, the excuses are kind of gone now. They have guys in their prime with a good amount of experience and talent. So in terms of being worried about an upset, I think it just really does come down to, can they deal with the pressure?
So what's the Elliott Shore Parks watching experience for a knockout round game? Like, is this one you watch at home and just kind of hunker down,
yeah,
or you go out for this one? How do you handle this tonight?
I mean, look, a Wednesday at 8 o'clock going out's a tough sell, right? Like that's a tough one. But no, I mean, I've been going out for the World Cup games. I've been enjoying it, like being in the city, but I think for tonight, I just got to sit and watch it. Like, I really want to watch this one.
You're a little nervous?
Yeah.
A little nervous?
Knockout round.
I'm a little nervous. I mean, look, if you look at the field overall, right, there's not really just France and Argentina, I think, are great teams. And I don't think they'd play either of them until the finals, if I'm not mistaken, based off the bracket. So It is a wide open kind of run here for them. And again, I can't stress enough, like, they have a collection of players that have world-class talent and experience in these big tournaments. So, you know, hopefully it only improves from here. And in 4 years, we're talking about a better team. But in terms of just having a legit chance, it's probably never been better than, you know, they'll face tonight and their run into the final.
Yeah, it's fun. And if they win tonight and get to the Final 16 heading into July 4th weekend, I mean, it's going to be a huge story around here. I'm excited for it. Elliott, thank you for hopping on. Enjoy the game tonight and July 4th weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yep, sounds good. Talk to you guys later.
There he goes. Elliott Shore Parks there with us. So he's Mr. Conservative when it comes to the offense and the turnovers. And, you know, he's always been on that here, the idea that they win because of their turnover differential, which is typically been excellent. But now we've reached that point where it's like, hey, do we want it to be a little bit more aggressive? But Elliott says, nope, do what has worked for the most part for years here with Sirianni and Jalen Hurts.
I'm of the mindset it has to change a little bit. You can't keep doing the same thing that you've been doing in the past because they have a book on you and you become stagnant in a sense. So it's one of those things where I feel like you have to evolve this offense the best that you possibly can.
Yep. 215-592-9494. Let's go to the phone lines here. Kevin in Philly is up on WIP. What's up, Kevin?
Good morning. How you doing today?
Good, Kevin. What's up?
I sort of want to reiterate what one of your callers said earlier about Trey Turner. Look, his back has been his strength over the years. There's no question about that. But his defense is a significant problem for us. When we play great teams in the playoffs, what wins? Pitching and defense.
Well, look at last year. The Dodgers defense was way better than our defense last year, Kevin.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, why did the Dodgers not sign him? And they put Mookie Betts at shortstop. Think about that. And the other day, I was at the game the last 2 days. I'm not going anymore. It's too hot. But I went Monday and Tuesday. The game against the Pittsburgh Pirates, possible double play. What does Trey Turner do? Throw the ball away.
He almost threw it into the front row. I mean, Kevin, he almost threw it into the front row. They got to give people helmets when you buy a front row ticket with the shortstop. It's crazy.
And what happened the other day when they was in the rundown? What did he do with the ball? He bounced it like he was throwing a bounce pass to Joel Embiid for a layup. It was just I like his bat. I'm not, but his defense, I look at the stats. Last year, he was in the middle pack, in the middle of the pack, like 15 out of 23 shortstops. And now, your shortstop, I was a decent baseball player. For the most part, your shortstop has to be your best fielder in the infield. Has to be. And he is far from it. Stott is our best. If I was the Phillies, I'd put Stott at shortstop because I think he can play a much better shortstop than Trey Turner. He'll get to the ball. He makes the right plays. He is active. He understands how to move. Trey is a liability. Not during the regular season, everybody says, oh, yeah, wait till the playoffs because it is those mistakes. He made last week against when Ottering was pitched, he made an error. This guy came up, hit a home run.
Yep. Well, and you're right about that rundown. That rundown, he spiked the ball into the ground. I'm like, what are we doing here? Kevin, his defense is a problem. He needs to hit a lot to make up for that defense. Hopefully, he started
to cover that up. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Kevin, what are you thinking for Hughes Clues? What's your guess? A great American company.
One quick point about the Eagles, then I'm gonna do Hughes Clues. Mm-hmm. I agree wholeheartedly with who's the guy that comes on all the time.
Elliot.
That just spoke
Elliot.
For the Eagles.
Elliot.
Elliot Chopox. Mm-hmm. I agree with him. I think people misinterpret how bad the offensive line was last year. With a strong offensive line, we can continue to do what we've been doing with some mixed-in passing, and we can still be very effective. So that's my point.
Well,
the last point.
Yeah,
hey,
well, the offensive line was bad last year, and they needed to be healthier for sure. Kevin, go ahead.
Terrible.
Go ahead.
Sure. I'm going to say, Hugh, knowing you're burning, how about McDonald's?
McDonald's, that's a big guess, Kevin. Not it, but
not
a good
guess.
That is a big-time American company.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Well, do you need to listen to guess McDonald's as a great American company?
Well, no, I'm saying, but you're on the right track.
Okay.
You're on the right track.
Because it's a place that you talk about, like the Ronald McDonald love.
It's a personal thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a personal connection.
Yeah.
It's everything that I do is kind of linear. You just have to listen to what's going on.
Do you think everyone thinks it's linear or you think it's linear?
No, I think it's easy once you listen to it.
Okay.
Because I give context clues.
You do?
I do give
context clues.
But people don't, you know, they don't want to think.
The students again?
Yeah, they don't want to think.
Okay. 215-592-9494. Alex in Bristol is up on WIP. Hey, Alex.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you
what's
doing?
Hey,
on?
Alex, what's up?
Okay, so the Phillies winning the division, huge deal for me because we've done it the last couple years. And if this team fails to win a World Series, we got to put something in the record books, right? As far as playing the Dodgers, Joe, you seem like you're afraid to play the Dodgers, and I get why. But to me, it's like grudge match, revenge. If we win the World Series, we got to play the Dodgers. No other way.
So, Alex, I hear you. But here's my thing. Would you rather play them right out of the gate or play them in a longer series? Like, we have two great starting pitchers, right? And if it's a seven-game series, we could use those guys four out of the seven games. We can't use them as often in the division series because it's too short. So, like, it's not being afraid. I just want to I want to play them mano a mano seven games if we have to see them, rather than right away, and it's like we're not even getting to use our best guys because of the way our team is assembled.
Okay. Seven games, fair. Yeah. Agree with that. It gives us a better shot to beat them. But I would just feel like it's kind of empty winning a World Series without beating the Dodgers. Like, we have to play them. So,
well, it would be, I'll say this. It would be more fun. Like, the story, I'd agree. It would be more fun. Now, I think we'll take a championship either way. But, yeah, like, if you could kind of map out the ideal, what would make us, like, the most happy, sure. Taking down the Dodgers and then win it all would be awesome. Alex, what's your guess for Hughes Clues, a great American company?
Didn't hear all the clues today.
Well, that's the only clue so far.
It's the only clue.
Hugh just gave us a great American company.
Yes.
Okay. Wawa.
Nailed it.
100%.
You nailed it, Alex. Nailed it.
I don't believe it.
How did you do it, Alex? How did you do it?
I'm sitting at a Wawa right now.
Well, that, you know what? That yep. fits. That fits, Alex.
Couldn't hear him. What'd he say?
He's sitting in a Wawa right now.
I mean, it's easy. It's easy peasy. I almost gave it away. I said, hey, you know, it's a great weekend. It's a good weekend. I said, America. Wawa giving away sandwiches there at noon at the mall?
Mm.
Independence Mall.
Oh, yeah. Welcome, America. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I said, I kept saying America. Wawa been pushing these promotions
I don't know if people think America with Wawa.
Why not? Since I've been here, like,
but I think more this area.
Yeah. Wawa, welcome
America.
To America.
Okay.
Well, I'm thinking
but
about this area
here.
When I get these clues.
All right, but no one in California is thinking, wow, America,
well, ain't
Wawa.
Nobody in California trying to win.
Well, that's not true. We have some callers in California.
Well, they ain't winning.
They can't because Alex won. Alex, congratulations. You're headed to the HBCU Swingman Classic. Good job,
Good
Alex.
Job.
You feel happy about what you did today?
Yeah, I do. You know I'm always proud. Even if people are mad at my clues, I get them to think.
I've noticed a theme, though.
But
when people get the answer early, it's a complete shot in the dark guess. It's not the clue. Alex guessed Wawa because he had no idea, and he is at a Wawa and just looked up and was like, I don't know, Wawa.
He workshopped it. He workshopped it.
I'm not sure he did.
He said, I said American company.
And he's at an American company. And he just said that.
In Philadelphia, what's more American than Wawa, especially around this time of the year? Like, seriously.
I would argue it's more Philadelphia than.
Wait, hold on. Did you just ask what? In Philadelphia, around the 4th of July, is more American than Wawa?
Yeah, something
there's,
like that.
Let's see.
What's more American than Wawa in Philadelphia?
The Liberty Bell?
Well, there's the Liberty Bell.
No.
There's okay. All right, never mind.
Independence Hall.
Yeah, you're right. My
Wawa.
Bad. Okay.
Wawa
yeah.
giving away
but
sandwiches.
But those things have been around for about 250 years.
No, but Wawa
is not that old.
Wawa is an institution. Like, when I left Philadelphia the first time, that's the first thing that I missed. And then, you know, when I found great joy? Mm. When I was in Florida and I rolled past Wawa, and I was like, oh, wow.
More American, the Declaration of Independence or Wawa?
Wawa. Today.
What about Saturday? Declaration on Saturday.
Wawa.
That's it. The whole day
is
the Declaration.
It's a sandwich. They're giving out them sandwiches.
Yeah. Okay.
And you know what? I didn't even get a chance to give them a last clue.
Go ahead,
the last clue would have gave it away.
What was it?
It was, they have tacos and they're awesome. They now have tacos.
So this was all a commercial.
It was a shameless plug.
It was a Hugh Douglas commercial. All right, 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. Is winning the NL East important to you? The Phillies are now within 2.5 games of the Braves in the NL East. It's important to me. Some are calling me scared and a baby because I don't want to see the Dodgers in the division series. Call them what you want. I'd rather face them in a 7-game series than a 5-game series and be on the opposite side of the bracket. And yes, if someone beat the Dodgers for us, I'm not going to shed any tears. I don't even think you would, even though you have all your bravado today. 215-592-9494. Coming up on the other side, your phone calls. And Richard Sherman said something interesting about the Philadelphia Eagles and the upcoming 2026 season. We'll react to that, your phone calls, and all of it. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us, 215-592-9494. Is winning the NL East a big deal for you? It is for me. It's not for Hugh Douglas, but I think it's a big deal. Now that we're within 2.5 games of the Braves, let's go get this division. Higher seed, more home games, the chance to put themselves on the opposite side of the bracket of the Los Angeles Dodgers. It's a big deal for me. Where do you come down? 215-592-9494. And are you buying this Trey Turner resurgence? He has hit much better the last couple weeks, having a nice series here against the Pirates. A couple home runs, one to the opposite field, one to left field, one to right. He's had a nice series, nice couple weeks. Are you buying into the Trey Turner offensive resurgence? Defensively, well. Now, we can only expect so much, but we'll keep your phone calls on that. And we wanted to react
one
to this.
One thing at a time.
One thing we can fix. We might be able to fix his bat. The defense, I think, is a lost cause. But we wanted to react to this because Richard Sherman had some things to say about the Eagles and really where he stacks them up or doesn't stack them up within the NFC. Let's hear Richard Sherman, his podcast, talking about the Eagles as we head towards the season.
My expectations, definitely lower. You know, it's hard to put them in the same class as the Rams and the Seahawks right now until proven otherwise. Now, Devontae Smith, do I think is a receiver one? I think he's proven that he can be dominant on his own. But without A.J. Brown there, there'll be double teams on him. There'll be clouds. There'll be things that he hasn't had to deal with as often with A.J. Brown in the fold and how he deals with those things, how their offense deals with those things, how Jalen Hurts deals with it. At times, Jalen Hurts would just, hey, drop back, throw it up to A.J. Brown. 3rd and 10, all day, always open. A.J. Brown is going to be down there. It's bailed him out of big games, and he's not going to have that same safety blanket anymore. Can he do that with Devontae Smith? No question about it. What will Mekhi Levin be? He's dealt with some hamstring issues already in minicamp and OTAs. Will that be a lingering issue throughout the season? We'll see, but it's a lot of unknowns. And then you got to deal with the Dallas Cowboys, who have become a lot more formidable. They're going to feel like they have a chance to win that division this year for good reason.
All right, so a few things that stood out. One, you know, at the end, he talks about the Cowboys being more formidable, which I agree with, and they'll be, I think, the biggest challenge to the Eagles. He talks about the uncertainty in the offense. But Hugh, the first thing he said was he doesn't right now put the Eagles in the same class as the Rams and the Seahawks.
Yeah.
Are you on the same page as Richard or you disagree?
Well, no, I know what Richard's trying to say. He's talking about the quarterback. I mean, and if you don't hear it any other way, then you know, I don't know what you're listening to. And it's not like he's saying that Jalen can't do it, because he made it clear he thinks he can, but it's not going to be as easy as it once was. Because when you talk about talent, man for man, I would say when you go down the roster of all those teams that he said he doesn't think the Eagles are in the class in.
Well, it was the two, right? Seahawks and the Rams.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. But if you go down the roster of both of those teams and you look at us man for man, we match up well at that position, less one. And that's probably the position he's talking about, is the quarterback position. There's a lot of question marks about Jalen, even though Jalen has accomplished a lot. When you talk about the other two quarterbacks that they're putting him up against, they've accomplished a lot as well. You know, when you talk about Sam Darnold and the fact that he was the best quarterback in the game last year.
Says you.
Says me.
Okay.
Because he won the Super Bowl. That's
right.
Then that's what he's talking about. Now, that's not to say that the Eagles can't get it done, but that's from his purview. That's how he sees it. And right now, there's a lot of question marks about the quarterback.
Well, that's true. And there's a lot of question marks about the offense. So I agree with Richard Sherman. I don't have the Eagles in the same class as the Rams and the Seahawks right now. But it's not only because of the quarterback. For the Rams, they have a clear advantage at quarterback. Matthew Stafford's better than Jalen Hurts. Now, last year, Darnold played well. I don't think it's quite clear. And Darnold's played well for 2 years, excuse me. I don't think it's quite clear that he's that much better than Hurts.
No.
To me, they're on the same plane.
I'm talking about, but I look at it in the sampling size of a year.
Last year. Yeah.
For all three guys.
Well, and if you go, I mean, Darnold did play really well the year before in Minnesota, too. Darnold's had two good years in a row. Now, Hugh, last year was the first time he performed in the postseason, right? Because in Minnesota, he did not.
Yeah.
I don't think the Eagles are on. I have to see the Eagles be on their level. Because last year, they weren't on their level last season. The Rams and Seahawks were just on a different level.
They were riddled with injuries. There's a lot that was going on. And that's what you think about when you make that assessment. That's what I'm thinking Richard is talking about when he makes that assessment. There's a lot of injuries on this team. There was a lot of questions about the offense coordinator, the quarterback. It's not just – I'm not just laying this at Jalen's feet, but when you talk about that, that's the biggest question mark. Will Jalen take that next step in this offense?
Where do you guys think the Eagles are in the odds to win the NFC? Because you're talking about the NFC specifically. So how many teams do you think are above the Eagles in the odds to win the NFC and get to the Super Bowl?
I would probably say right now, just off the top of my head, one. And that one team would probably be the Dallas Cowboys.
No, I'm talking about the NFC.
You're talking about, you know when you said it,
not
Joe,
the East,
I'm thinking about the East.
No, the NFC to get to the Super Bowl.
That's a different conversation. Definitely the Rams.
The Rams are above them. Rams are the favorite in the NFC right now.
I think Seattle going to take a step back.
But that far back or just a little step back?
I think they're going to take a step back. But for the sake of this conversation, given what we know about these situations, the Seattle Seahawks are probably going to be two.
They are two. So the Rams are the favorite to win the NFC. The Seahawks are favorite.
Chicago probably three or four.
Chicago is actually behind the Eagles. Chicago is seventh in the NFC in
odds.
Okay,
so the Eagles are sixth.
Eagles are fifth.
Fifth.
Rams are the favorite by a lot. Seahawks are second. And it's a pretty big gap then to next. The Niners are third.
Oh, I forgot about the Niners. They're kind of banged up, though.
Detroit is fourth. The Eagles are fifth. The Eagles have the fifth best odds to win the
conference.
So
Detroit is higher than the Eagles?
Yes.
And the Bears are behind the Eagles.
The Bears,
the Bears are behind who?
Well, here's where it goes. It goes Rams are the favorite, Seahawks are next, then the Niners, Lions, Eagles. The next couple teams are the Packers and the Cowboys.
Okay, the Packers,
and
Cowboys.
Then the Bears.
It looks like they're sort of, I mean, they, if you want to look at this, it has the Rams in their own tier in terms of odds, plus 550. Then it's a significant drop off to the next team,
Super Bowl odds.
So even if you want to put the Rams in their own category, or if you want to group them in Seattle territory, the Eagles, there's like a pretty significant drop off when you get to the Lions, Niners, and Eagles.
Yes.
They have the Eagles almost in that second or third tier.
Yep.
And that makes sense to me.
Like, I agree.
I feel like I have more of an idea of who the Rams and Seahawks are than I do the Eagles this year.
That's fair. I think that's fair when you talk about it like that, because there's a lot of question marks about a lot of different positions. Now, I'm saying all this because I'm banking on the offensive line being healthy, and I'm banking on the combination of Tank Bigsby and Saquon Barkley that the running game is going to be sound. He's not lying. Malachi Lemon?
No, we don't know.
Malachi?
No.
We don't know what he's going
to
be.
What does he have to do to get you to get his name right? Touchdown week one?
No. Hugh stuck to Coach Goober and Coach Bubblehead.
And they won the Super Bowl.
He's always going to be
Malachi. And this is the guy you defended stealing Nick Foles' number 9.
Malachi.
Which was a joke.
I know it's an old movie, but Children of the Corn. Malachi.
That's what's in your head?
Yeah. Every time I think about his name, I think of Children of the Corn. Malachi. So, there's a lot of question marks about what he's going to be, and it does not help the fact that he wasn't in training camp. And I know people, oh, that's not a big deal. Get ready for the season. Yes, it is. He's a rookie. Well, it's not like he's a vested player.
No. But as long as he's in training camp, he missed minicamp, right? As long as he's in training camp there in the month, fine.
But you got those mental reps hit different for youngins. No, it's a different time. Yeah. It's a different time, a different era. But, man, you missed those mental reps out there. You're missing timing and everything. Sure. And this offense is going to be predicated on timing.
I do think it comes – I mean, look, Hugh said it. Richard Sherman alluded to it. It is the quarterback thing, right? I mean, we know what Stafford is. I think Darnold, Hurts, you could say they've been comparable, at least in terms of what their numbers were. Mm. But I almost think, like, Darnold's not going to be – MVP caliber. He's not going to be bad. I think I have an idea of what Darnold's going to be.
Yeah, 2 years in a row, pretty good.
I don't think I have any idea what Hurts is going to be this year.
Well, and he also spoke about AJ. This is the first time there's not... That's why I agree with what he said. I don't think the Eagles are on the same level as the Rams Seahawks. And also, for the first time in a while, their talent is a little bit diminished, right? They traded away AJ Brown. As much as I was happy with it, them doing that, I was on board with it. Hugh, this is the first time in a while the Eagles have subtracted a talent like that. Usually they're just adding.
Reluctantly.
Well, whatever. I mean, he's not here, right? They subtracted a talent. Meanwhile, the Rams added Myles Garrett. The Rams added Trent McDuffie.
Yeah, and that's why you look at it the way that you look at it. Because you don't know what the Eagles are going to be. But, you know, if that offensive line is playing well and Jalen Hurts grasps this offense pretty quickly, I think they'll be fine. The defense, we all feel the defense is going to be probably the tip of the spear when it comes to, you know, getting this offense acclimated to whatever it's going to be. So there's that. So it's going to take a little time for this offense to get going.
Yeah, and I think for me at least, I need to see it to believe it. Because all of last year, they were not on the same level as the Rams and the Seahawks. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in. Are the Eagles on the same level as the Rams and Seahawks? The odds are saying no. Richard Sherman's saying no. You seem to still think the talent is close to theirs, right? It's about the quarterback. Like, when you look at the teams, you think the Eagles are close to the Rams and Seahawks talent-wise?
I think so. You know, and I know Myles Garrett's the outlier. No question about that.
That's a big upgrade.
He's an outlier. But when you talk about the defenses, because I think that's what we both look at. I think this Eagles defense, even though we don't have the big-name edge rusher, we got some comparable players. We have Vic Fangio.
Yep.
And we have a stalwart secondary. You know, there's some question marks on the back end about the safety position, and it's kind of thin back there. But I feel like it's not light years away from the Rams. Now, I hear what Richard, like, thinking about it now, just on the surface, I hear what he's saying, and I understand it. But I don't think the Eagles are light years away from them.
No, I don't think light years, but on the same level means the same. I mean, so
In the cul-de-sac.
Offensively, are we in the same cul-de-sac as the Rams?
No, okay.
Offensive talent. So that they have Stafford, Devontae Adams, Puka Nacua.
Well, Puka biting people, so we don't know how that's going to work out.
You know what?
That whole biting, I'm not going to let that bite.
I don't think it's a big thing on the field. I mean, as long as he's eligible to play. he's going to play worse because he bit someone last year? I mean, do you think he's going to play worse because he bit someone in December?
You know what,
I just don't think
he's going to.
Might play better. Maybe he does.
Maybe he absorbed their powers.
You know what's funny about this? It's how y'all diminishing him biting folks in the club.
No, hold on. Nobody's diminishing him biting people in the club.
But how does
you
it affect
are acting
his game?
Like it matters for on the field.
He might try to bite.
What are you talking about?
He might try to pull his helmet off and bite somebody.
Okay.
All right.
No, but like, what do you have, 1,800 yards last year, 1,700? I don't think he's going to have 700 less because he bit someone in a club last year.
They'd be like, hey, Mr. Bitey Pants, Mr. Biter.
Yeah.
He's the biter.
I don't.
Mr. Bitey Pants?
What did you just say?
It was the first thought that popped in my head.
How am I supposed to continue 2 hours of a show with Mr. Bitey Pants?
Hey, man, I'm just saying. He biting people. I ain't giving him no
credit. Whose offense is more talented right now, them or us? Come on.
You.
I'm going to be a homer on this.
No.
Stop. Oh, all right.
Are you going to do the Elliott the last 5 years?
First of all,
we are way too close to football season for this nonsense talking about we're not going to be in contention for the Super Bowl. I will have none of that. Well, it's the 4th of July weekend.
Well, hold on. That's not what we're talking about.
I'm not saying that a biter, somebody who bit somebody unsolicited somewhere is going to be better. Well, he is a hell of a receiver.
So we've devolved into this. Who thinks the Eagles' offense better than the Rams?
In my mind.
Oh, stop.
Yeah, okay.
No.
That might be a little bit too much. No, the Rams are going to be formidable. No question about that. They're going to be formidable. All jokes aside, they're adding pieces.
Yeah.
And we've subtracted. And on top of that, we have a new offensive coordinator. So we're going to be on the struggle bus for a little bit.
They have Matt Stafford, the MVP. Mm-hmm. They have a player who was, runner-up OPOY?
Yes. I think it was he was second behind. Yes. It was either him or McCaffrey.
And they have a head coach who the coordinator we just hired, we want to be him.
Yes.
Or him late. I don't think it doesn't really compare.
That's why the Eagles' defense needs to be great, which that's the expectation, and they need the offense to pick it up as the season goes along to be in the same category as the Rams.
Their path to competing with the Rams is our defense holding them down to a level that our offense can be within striking distance.
Now, look, what Richard Sherman is saying there, what we're talking through, what the odds say, is that the Eagles are not in that top echelon. And that is a departure from the last couple of years.
Yeah, and that's because of the uncertainty of the offensive coordinator and how soon the quarterback picks up this offense and how soon this offense gets going. You know, all of that kind of plays into the ranking of where the Eagles are ranked right now.
You know, it's going to be an interesting feeling, and I'm not quite sure where this is going to go. So, when we had it was an infamous day on the show. I think it was the moment where Hugh said, huh? When we had the day that we discussed, is this a transition year for the Eagles, right? We had that discussion during the offseason in the midst of free agency and all that. You know, to me, they're in the middle of what is going to be a transition year. Remember,
try to recalibrate what their offense is, what their quarterback is, and who are the young players that are going to pay for the future. Hugh, it doesn't feel like an all-in season to me that the Eagles are setting up,
and it feels to me like we're in a transition. Where do you come down on what they've done and kind of what they're telling us?
Huh? You didn't have to do that.
Sure we did.
It was uncalled for.
No, it set the scene.
It was actually quite literally called for.
Yeah.
Yeah, Joe mentioned it.
I did. I asked for it.
It was uncalled.
So when we had discussion that day, there were quite a few people that thought they are in a transition year. I can't wait to see what the feeling is around this team, Hugh, over the next month or two leading to the season, because by definition, a transition year probably doesn't mean Super Bowl expectations. I wonder if that's going to change as we get close to the season. People are going to start believing and convincing themselves this is a Super Bowl team, or are we going to think what we thought in the offseason, which is good but not great?
No, we're going to believe that this is a Super Bowl team. Just like the Jets are believing that they're going to be in contention
for
the playoffs. No, yes, they do. Yes, they do. Listen.
You just ruined your entire point with that. What are you talking about?
Jets fans or the Jets?
The Jets fans and the Jets.
Neither.
Jets fans can't believe they're going to be competing.
Let me not be serious.
I am dead ass
got
here.
Got Geno Smith, the quarterback.
I promise you that their hope, the beautiful thing about the beginning of football season, is everybody believes they have a shot.
I don't even believe that.
Even the New York Jets believe they have a shot.
If we went up to wherever there is the biggest concentration of Jets fans, we asked them, what's your confidence level in contending for a Super Bowl? They would laugh in your face.
No, I didn't say contend for the Super Bowl. Now you're putting words in my
mouth. You said playoffs.
I said playoffs.
Where they haven't been in 15 years, which is impossible in the NFL.
I said playoffs.
They'd probably still laugh at you. Did Jets you watch fans, them last year?
Excuse me?
Did you...
No.
Did you watch the Jets last year?
Oh, I know that they didn't get an interception season long.
Yeah, they were brutal.
They stink. They were really bad. Yeah,
but they got a new quarterback who's had some. They got a new old quarterback.
This is because your friend Aaron Glenn said he's going to take them to the promised land.
You know what's funny? This is I was talking to some people up there yesterday. Might be it.
Well, Aaron's got to get to 6 or 7 wins to keep that shot. Tough spot for AG up there.
He in a tough spot, man. But hope springs eternal. You know, whether you believe it or not, there are some out there that believe, hey, man, maybe we can make it to the playoffs this year. Everybody believes that. And I would think that the standard being the standard what it is for the Eagles, they're not thinking nothing less. Especially when you talk about, you still got the Hall of Fame. You still have the MVP quarterback on the team.
Who?
Jalen Hurts.
Oh, the Super Bowl MVP?
Yes.
But that's different than having an MVP.
No, but he's the MVP. MVP is MVP.
No.
Super Bowl MVP.
Super Bowl MVP is different than regular season MVP.
No, but what I'm saying, Joe, you're right, but what I'm saying is, and I know it sounds hyperbolic, but it's the truth. They have Jalen Hurts, and they feel like, and I feel that Jalen's going to adapt to this offense, and they're going to be fine.
So I actually agree with you that as we get closer to the season, I do think people's expectations are going to rise from because most of this offseason.
I know it sounds crazy, but that's what we do as fans.
Well, I think we do it every summer, right? Like,
yes.
So whatever you're at, you naturally start getting more excited for the season. You start seeing it through a different lens. I agree with that. I wonder, though, deep down, do people feel because we've seen different Eagles teams, right? The 24 team. The talent level they had, the age of those players, the addition of Saquon, there was a ceiling to that team if they could reach it that was special, and they did.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if people feel that about this team, especially with the subtraction of A.J. Brown. I agree with Richard Sherman. I don't have them right now on the same level as the Rams and Seahawks. I think those two teams entered the summer, clearly the best in the NFC. We'll see where the Eagles are at. I'm curious, but I think you are right on this, Hugh. I think people are going to talk themselves into
best case
scenario.
We always do, because we've been here before. And when you look at the season that we did win the Super Bowl, nobody saw that coming. I mean, we got off rocky. We got off to a rocky start.
But I bet their odds in July were better then than now.
Yeah.
More talent.
Yeah, yeah.
And yet they were younger. Younger team.
We had, you know, Coach Bubblehead's moment where he cut all his hair off and everybody looking like, what the hell? What the hell? And they start rolling. And then the rest is history. So it's one of those things where the closer we get to this thing, the more and more we're going to start to believe that everything's going to be okay until we see them actually play.
Well, then you have to see it to believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can convince yourself anything in the summer.
Because we're going to go. Let me tell you what's going to happen. We're going to go to camp. You know, Coach Mann's going to be there with his new fresh bald haircut because he came on home.
Well, that's why he's the official coordinator of the Midday Show.
Yeah, he came on
home.
He's
one of us.
And Jalen's going to be throwing the ball in practice all over the schoolyard.
Yeah.
Elliot's going to chart those plays and talk about how good Jalen looks in
he
practice.
He needs that stopwatch. How long is he holding the ball?
Everybody's going to be excited.
Yep.
And then we're going to go to New England, and we're going to see how we look at that, with that measuring stick there in the practices.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's going to be the first tell of how we feel about this season.
Well, that's why that's a must-win practice.
Yeah, must-win practice.
Yeah, we cannot go to New England and lose that practice.
I totally agree.
Let's go to the phone lines here. 215-592-9494.
It's hot, Joe. It's hot today, too.
Well, we're in the air conditioning.
No, I'm just saying. I'm just looking outside. It looks hot.
It looks hot?
Yeah.
Well, sometimes you have this haziness.
You look outside, yeah, it's a little hazy. It's a little hazy, dog. It's hazy.
I don't know if I really see that.
Well, I don't see it either. I'm just saying sometimes you can see hazy.
I see haze.
You see haze?
So he's just deflecting.
I see warmth.
What did you call it? Puka Nacua? Bitey guy? Bitey man?
Mr. Bitey Pants.
Mr. Bitey Pants. Puka Nacua.
Watch out. Puka's here. He likes to bite people.
James is up on WIP. Hey, James.
Hey, Joe.
James.
How y'all doing, Kyle? How you doing, Hugh? How you doing?
What's up, man?
So, Hugh, I want to ask you a question. Start off with Hugh, the football guy. So my first question is this. Who are the top five quarterbacks in the NFL right now?
Right now, Sam Darnold is number one.
This is the football
guy. And you want to talk to the football guy.
I have my – listen, yep. James, I have my reasoning. Sam Darnold's number
one. I'm listening.
I'm going to say Matt Stafford's two. Now, after that, now it gets a little hazy for me because those are the two that are at the top of my list. I'd probably say, given the year that he had last year, I put Caleb Williams up there.
Okay.
Who else?
Okay.
Josh Allen. I'm sorry.
Pat?
Josh Allen.
How about Pat?
He was hurt.
Yeah.
He was hurt. But Patrick Mahomes.
So that's five.
And
you did five.
Okay, so.
Yeah.
That's enough right there. So let me ask you a question. So if everything is based off of what the quarterbacks or teams did last year, why would Patrick Mahomes be a top five quarterback?
Well, like I said, when we were making the list, I said we was hurt last year. So that's why I'm sorry.
That's in regards to Joe. That's not for you, Hugh. That's for Joe. My thing is this.
Well, Patrick Mahomes is one of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of the sport.
Joe, he kind of gets grandfathered.
But wait a minute, Joe. But Joe, you can't say that when.
Yes, I can.
If we say Jalen Hurts had one of the best performances in Super Bowl history, but you'll say that doesn't matter.
Do you understand the difference of 7 or 8 or 9 years of all-time play versus one game? Like how different
that
is?
Said, no, but But wait a minute. But over 5 years, he's been to the playoffs every year. His winning percentage is crazy. So you can't just dismiss all of that stuff. And
well,
then
no, but I can't because you're giving me Jalen's team success. When I talk about Patrick Mahomes, yes, he's had a lot of team success. Yes, he has rings. But Patrick Mahomes has performed among the highest levels we've ever seen at that position in any era for years.
What? So you telling me that Patrick Mahomes is better than Tom Brady?
No, no.
Peyton Manning? No.
Yeah, I would take him over Peyton Manning.
What?
Yes. I would take him over Peyton Manning.
I think he's more talented than Brady, too.
Do you think he would have the same success without Andy Reid?
Do you think it's – hold on. You think it's laughable that I could say he's better than Peyton Manning?
Yes.
Have you watched Patrick Mahomes
play? Because I don't think Patrick Mahomes would leave Kansas City and do what he did in Kansas City.
Maybe not,
somewhere else.
But we don't know yet. So we'll see. I mean, we don't know. Maybe he'll leave one day. Maybe he won't. Who cares about that? Like, what does that have to do with anything?
What I'm saying to you is this. I just feel like...
Do you think Jalen Hurts would leave the Eagles? Do you think Jalen Hurts would leave the... I mean, sometimes the spot you're in helps you, right? Andy obviously helps Mahomes. You think Jalen Hurts would leave the Eagles and be on a team that wins 13 games every year?
Yes.
No.
Yes,
no.
And I'm going to tell you why.
No.
Because Jalen Hurts is a winner.
Okay.
He's going to do the same things that he did here in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
He's going to go take that same work ethic.
So you, question. So you're here questioning if Mahomes could go somewhere else and win, but Jalen, he would definitely go somewhere else.
No, I'm in here questioning that, like when you say the contract about Jalen, the Eagles didn't sign him, so they don't have faith in him. Well, wait a minute. Joe Burrow didn't get a new contract or Justin Herbert.
Well, they have more guaranteed money left. The contract's structured differently. They're not in prove-it years where their team could easily move on. That the contracts are structured differently, James. The Eagles can easily move on from Hurts after the season if they choose.
Yeah, because he has no guaranteed money left on his contract.
That's the issue. Who cares about Joe Burrow in this conversation? Where'd Joe Burrow come from?
It comes from how y'all still keep rating this man as a top five quarterback, and he ain't been to the playoffs in 3 years.
Well, I think he is a top five quarterback. What did you think about Drew Brees when the Saints missed the playoffs 3 straight years? Was Drew Brees not good anymore?
He wasn't a top five quarterback.
Oh, stop. James.
Why would because y'all favorite line is the quarterback has to elevate the team when the team is bad.
Okay.
Matt Stafford, it took him 20 years.
So Matt Stafford
to win
just
a Super Bowl.
Did he no, just got good when he though. Got to the Rams? Is that magic?
Listen, as good as he was in Detroit, he didn't win nothing.
Because he was on the Lions, James.
Yeah.
The Lions.
Oh, wow.
You know what, James? James, do you realize who disagrees with you? Like, Sean McVay had a quarterback by your standards that was a winner. He was winning. They were going to the playoffs every year in Jared Goff. And he took a loser in Matthew Stafford, and he chose the loser. What do you think that says, James?
That says that Sean McVay made a good coaching decision at the time.
But what was he basing it on? His ability, not the wins and losses.
But wins and losses is the only thing that matters in football.
Obviously, Sean McVay didn't think so. But obviously, Sean McVay said, I don't care this guy's lost for 10 years. He's better than Jared Goff. Like, don't you get what he said? So I can say the same thing about Joe Burrow or whoever the hell we want to talk about. The wins and losses is only a piece of the puzzle. Peace.
Put anybody behind that Eagles team, they'll win a Super Bowl. Well, wait, Matt Stafford had the same kind of team last year and didn't win a Super Bowl.
But he already won a Super Bowl, James. He did it.
And so did Jalen. That's my point. So you can't put any quarterback behind the Eagles offensive line and they're going to win.
Nah, you're
right.
Stafford wouldn't.
I didn't say he. No, I didn't say he couldn't.
Then what are you talking about?
What I'm saying to you, Joe, is you use the pass to validate this thing, the points you're trying to make, but when the callers try to use the pass, what do that got to do with it? That was in 2023. That was in 2020. You can't do that, Joe.
No, well,
because you do it all the time.
You can with certain players, James. Like Patrick Mahomes. We got to go, James. Appreciate the call.
A couple pieces of Flyers breaking news, by the way.
Oh, what do we got?
94 WIP breaking news.
Our guy, Dan Vladar. That extension reported is official, 5 years, $5.5 million.
That was the kind of money that was talked about. All right, so Vladar signed up, 5 years, $5.5 million.
Also looks like another extension coming for Tyson Forrester, 8 years, $7 million.
$7 million per year?
Yeah.
That feels a little heavy.
Well,
heavy?
That's a big endorsement for his future.
Okay.
I think the Flyers really, really like it.
Okay. All right. Well, that one seems a little more projection.
Yep.
Than what he's done so far. All right, so a couple pieces of Flyers news there. 215-592-9494. Are the Eagles on the same level as the Seahawks and the Rams? I don't see it. I agree with Richard Sherman. Hugh feels they are. Where do you come down on that? Trey Turner, are you buying what you're seeing from Trey the last couple weeks? And the Phillies, does it matter to you that they win the NL East? It does matter to me. Coming up, your calls on all this. Plus, can we talk about some old friends? A trade proposal for the Phillies by Ruben Amaro Jr. I like this one. And wait till you hear a name that's been linked to the Flyers at free agency. Old Friends Hour coming up on the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.